Good afternoon. You are listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Cremery. Thank you for tuning in. Artists have an opportunity to have their bear-themed artwork depicted on trash cans in Juneau built to keep the animals out and win a $10,000 reward. Norwegian Cruise Lines is partnering with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to host an art contest. Selected artists will have their art turned into miniature murals. They'll be printed on bear-resistant trash infrastructure in downtown Juneau. Fish and Game's Abby McAllister says this is a way to raise awareness about the risks that unsecured trash creates for bears and encourage people to throw away their trash properly.
How do we get people to use our bear-resistant cans downtown? Well, let's draw their attention to these cans with art.
When bears get into trash, they learn to turn to garbage and people for food, which can make them dangerous. The state has had to euthanize bears that have become aggressive while looking for food in city streets and neighborhoods. A press release from Norwegian Cruise Line says a panel will narrow down the entries to three finalists, and then the public will vote on the best via social media. Norwegian will award $10,000 to the person whose entry is chosen, a portion of which will go towards a local charity the artist chooses. That design will go on an enclosure of bear-resistant trash cans near the cruise ship docks. Additional designs will be on new trash cans around downtown in bear hotspots. The city and borough of Juneau is funding and installing the new canisters using cruise passenger fees allocated last year. McAllister says the current bear-resistant cans in Juneau aren't user-friendly.
Not everybody knows how to work it, and I get it. And so I see people struggle with it for like just a half second, and even that is long enough sometimes to deter folks.
The new cans have more of a mailbox design, she said, where people pull open the canister, drop their trash in, and close it. She hopes that the new infrastructure will prevent more bears from getting into trash and save bear lives. Submissions open today through February 13th. There's a link to the submission form in this story on KTOO.org. And Thunder Mountain Middle School has recently joined the growing number of schools in Juneau composting food waste. Before rolling out the program, students in an environmental club led their peers through sorting out the trash and seeing how much of it can avoid the landfill. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
Ew! Seventh grader Talia Headings sticks her arm deep into a trash can and seems pretty grossed out by what she finds. Dressed in aprons and blue plastic gloves, her science class sorts through the remains of lunch at Thunder Mountain Middle School. The students come across slimy yogurt, half-eaten sandwiches, loose vegetables, and seemingly endless cartons of chocolate milk. They sort the trash into two separate buckets. At the end of the class, they weigh and keep a record of the different types of waste. Talia's found some interesting items so far to the disgust of her classmates. And sometimes it's hard to tell what's what. Talia says sorting through trash hasn't been as gross as she thought it would be.
There's more plastic than actual food. I was thinking there's going to be more food, because when I've seen the trash cans before, there's a lot of ranch and gross stuff in it.
What these students are doing is called a waste audit. All the food waste they sorted out will be composted. This effort is being led by a newly formed club at the middle school called Ocean Guardians, which teaches students to reduce waste and protect the ocean. Seventh grader Maybell Boss helped bring the club to Thunder Mountain. She was part of the Ocean Guardians Club at her former elementary school and didn't want to give it up.
When we went to middle school, we kind of thought to just bring it over, and we are excited that we can do that.
Maybell worked with her friends in the club to create presentations to all of the middle school science classes about what a waste audit is and what things are compostable before actually doing the audits. The students are auditing their trash while Juneau is having its own reckoning with waste. Juneau's landfill will likely fill up in the next decade. Composting is a way to keep food waste out of there. Maybell says it was challenging to get some students to get on board with the waste audit and composting.
Some people are either unaware of like the problems that are going on, like on how fast our landfill is filling up, and they aren't aware. And then other people, they just don't care for it as much or trying to make it something positive and something that we can do to help our environment.
Still, some students simply didn't want to go through trash. But Aria Gribben, another club member, says once the audit happens, those students realize it's not that bad.
It's been a bit hectic trying to get all the classes to agree to it and not have a bunch of kids be like, oh, I'm going to be sick tomorrow, so they don't have to do it. It's been a bit hectic trying to get that. But once they did it, I think they realized it's a bit gross, but it's also kind of fun.
By the end of all the audits, students sorted out over 300 pounds of food waste, and instead of going to the landfill, it was composted. Thunder Mountain joins four other schools in the district all composting their food waste. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And when someone experiences sudden cardiac arrest in Juneau, the average response time for Capital City Fire Rescue is 9 minutes. CCFR's Andrew Pantiscus is leading an initiative to make that response time faster and involves the help of Juno's community members in an app called Pulse Point. KTOO's Mike Lane spoke with Pantiscus about this life-saving effort.
Tell me, there's an effort out there that you've been helping with to lead and collect the contact information from people trained in cardiopulmonary resuscitation, or CPR, and to provide training opportunities. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so we're trying to get our cardiac arrest response to more of a community response. And what I mean by that is our average response time to a cardiac arrest when someone's heart stops is 9 minutes across the board, and has been for the past over 5 to 10 years since we've been tracking our data. And what we've realized, and what most major cities down south have realized, is we need to get the community to the point that they can respond faster, start early compressions, law enforcement agencies, military organizations, schools. The sooner we can have other trained responders start CPR, the better outcome we're going to have for that person. Every 1 minute without good quality chest compressions is a 10% decrease in survival. And so you can kind of assume if no one does chest compressions for about 9 to 10 minutes, we're not going to have a great outcome for that person. Now, that's not a hard and fast definitive that will be a 100% mortality rate. It just means that the sooner we get compressions on board, the better chances we're going to have of returning someone home to the community neurologically intact.
There's a particular tool out there called Pulse Point, and that's an app for your phone, correct?
It is, yep.
So can you tell me about this and why it would be helpful for folks who live here in Juneau?
When we identify that someone might be in cardiac arrest and our dispatchers start telling someone on the phone to start compressions, it basically pings everyone within a certain distance, whatever we set it to, and says, hey, this person here is in cardiac arrest. We need trained responders to respond. And here is your closest AED so that you can grab it on the way.
And that's going to reduce the response time.
Exactly.
Overall. Now, Pulse Point's not an active app in Juneau yet, but is going to be in the near future.
Yep. I don't have an exact date. Our hope is that mid to late 2026, we can do it. So there's some things administratively we need to do. It's got to be integrated into our dispatch system. What I can tell you is that CCFR is already adding in AEDs into our registry. If you do have an AED in a public location, your workplace, your religious gathering, your school, wherever it may be, and you don't know if it's entered, I would love it if you would send me an email. My email is Andrew, so A-N-D-R-E-W, period, Pantiscus, which is P-A-N-T-I-S-K-A-S, at juno.gov. I would love to come out, photograph it, and add it to our registry. That way, the day that Pulse Point's ready to go, we've already got them all in, and it will speed up the implementation of it.
Excellent. And now, what is the reaction from Juneau residents been toward CCFR's efforts for this?
So far, what I've heard is an overwhelming amount of support. This is going to drastically change how we manage our cardiac arrest. And I think that people realize that this is for their family. It's for our community. It's for the people who suffer out-of-hospital cardiac arrest. It's for our friends and family.
Now, do you have a goal for how many contacts you need or want in order for the app to be effective?
We haven't had them yet, but to me, as long as we have one person who's willing that could be there sooner, I think I see that as a win.
Tell me about any of the training opportunities in Juneau for CPR.
Absolutely. So there's several agencies, and I apologize because I'm probably not going to list them all, but Clinkett and Haida does CPR classes. Bartlett does CPR classes. We do CPR classes. While ours are mostly right now tailored for individuals within or around CCFR, we do them. Southeast Extinguisher does them, and I know that there's a couple other, and I apologize, I can't name them off the top of my head, that do them. What I would say the first thing I would do is if anybody has any questions, email me. I can absolutely send you a list.
Who can be a user of Pulse Point?
Yeah, anybody can be a user. There's differences in the types of responders, and we've not internally worked out who's going to be a verified or unverified responder and so on and so forth, but anyone can download the application. And so if anybody has questions on that, I would just go download it and start looking into what it does and how it does it. And it's a beautiful app, because if you are like me or my family and travel down to Seattle or travel down somewhere else And so if you're walking through SeaTac Airport, you might get a ping and say, oh, there's someone in Seagates who's in cardiac arrest, and you could be the first person there. So if you have questions, just download it and start looking at it.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
That was KTOO's Mike Lane speaking with EMS Program Manager for Capital City Fire Rescue, Andrew Pantiscus, about bringing the first responder app Pulse Point to Juneau. Alaska sees the largest seasonal employment swing of any state, according to new data from the State Department of Labor and Workforce Development. The gap between the lowest and the highest employment months is about 14% in the state, or a difference of nearly 44,000 jobs. The next closest state is Montana at 6%. State economist Dan Robinson says tourism, seafood processing, and construction are especially seasonal industries, and that they bring thousands of workers to communities around the state.
There's some big economic activity that occurs seasonally that just really blows things up in the summer.
Alaska's employment is far less seasonal than it used to be. In the 1970s, the difference between the highest and lowest months was over 40%, according to the report, more than twice the current level. That difference was largely tied to building the Trans-Alaska Pipeline and a wave of construction brought by the state's oil boom. The state's seasonality has been relatively stable since the early 1990s. Robinson says some of the state's most rural areas see the biggest seasonal differences. For example, in the Bristol Bay Borough, employment skyrockets in the summer months from just under 500 jobs to almost 4,000, according to the study. That's an increase of over 650%. The Denali Borough and Skagway are also extremely seasonal, which the report attributes to tourism. The state's largest city, Anchorage, sees the smallest swings at 6%. The report says that seasonal employment swings are also likely tied to Alaska having the largest gross migration rate, the number of people moving to and from the state each year. Between 1990 and 2018, Alaska's gross migration rate was almost 13%. Robinson says about 20% of workers don't stay in the state long enough to claim residency.
There are things that excite people to come here, both as a tourist and then to live here. The possibility of living here is kind of a big adventure. But we also have strong push factors.
Those push factors, Robinson says, are a comparative lack of entertainment and long winters. This is KTOO.